Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Are you ready for a Yankee Report with Sweeney Murdy? It's brought to you by Tri-State Mercedes Dealers, your Mercedes-Benz Tri-State Dealers. Visit MBUSA.com, by Stoli Vodka, the official vodka of the Yankees Radio Network, and by Interstate Batteries. Interstate Batteries, every battery for every need. Back in New York, Sweeney Murdy. Sweeney, how are you?
Good afternoon, fellas. How you doing?
What's up, Sweeney?
You get some rest after last night? Long night at the ballpark?
Just a little, sure, yeah. Those are fun games. That was an incredible game to watch, wasn't it?
It was amazing, and I know you may hate me for saying this, and I apologize to Yankee fans and Astro fans for saying this, but once you're not going to get a lot of sleep, my attitude is, who cares, right? What's the difference an hour or two? I wanted the game to match the Dodger-Red Sox Game 3 of the World Series last year, and for those who don't remember, that was a
I wasn't willing to go that far, no.
Oh, I was. It was a 7-hour 18-inning game. That was Game 3 of the World Series.
That's much too much.
That would have been awesome. I was ready for it.
I think at some point, though, you know what happens with a game like that to me? At some point, the game almost starts to become irrelevant because it's just going on and on and on.
But it's not irrelevant.
And if you don't have a rooting interest, that's
what I mean.
You don't care who wins.
Right, right.
So it's okay for it to go on and on and on. I guarantee you, if that was the Mets, you would not be saying that.
No.
Well, no, because I have a rooting interest. I'm saying as a baseball fan.
Right,
but as a baseball fan, my attitude was, and I'm staying up, so it's not like I'm saying that and going to bed. I'm saying it as somebody that's there to the last out. It just would have been a lot of fun. But for the Yankee fan, I think, good or bad, you need it to end because every pitch of that extra inning, whether the Astros were up or the Yankees were up, were stressful. And you could tell, I mean, every pitch could have been the last, as we saw with the first pitch of the 11th to Carlos Correa. So everything were these high leverage, sweaty, crazy moments. Let's take 30 seconds between pitches because everything mattered so much at that point.
And that's really the key factor in home field advantage. I know we make a lot about the crowds and everything, but being able to bat last is the biggest thing about home field advantage. And 2 years ago, Carlos Correa got the game when he hit in game two, when Jose Altuve raced around and scored at Minute Maid Park. So he got the game-winning hit again. And that game was a game the Yankees lost 2-1. You know, they got to both of those games, through both those games and situations where, you know, they didn't push the runs across in order to keep that from happening, in order to keep that last at-bat from not mattering. Think about this. The Yankees got one hit yesterday off pitchers not named Justin Verlander. They scored no runs off pitchers not named Justin Verlander. Regardless of how the first six innings went for the Yankees from their pitching side, if you say that you're getting into the seventh inning in a 2-2 game and you're into the Astros bullpen, that's where you wanted to be. And the Astros bullpen got the outs.
No doubt. All right, two moves in the game, and I want to get your thoughts on it. First, taking Paxton out in the third inning like he did, and then taking an unhittable at that point, Chad Green, out to go to Ottavino. What was your thoughts on both of those moves?
Paxton was the right call. You saw some of the hard hit balls against him. You know, there's one off the wall, there's line drives everywhere, and you're getting into the heart of the order again that can hurt you and did the first time through. So I thought Chad Green was going to be in that game at some point regardless, and I thought when he was going to be in was going to be crucial to the Yankees. So to get him in there when it was still only 1-0 and you had the ability to cover more outs, I thought that was the right move. I was surprised he came out for Springer and went to Ottavino there. Now, the result is a big part of why everybody didn't want to see Ottavino in there. But even if you leave Chad Green there, he's probably only getting through maybe two more batters.
Right, right. And
at that point, Ottavino's coming in. You know, so he threw a bad slider. He could have thrown that pitch to Altuve. He could have thrown that pitch to Bregman. He could have thrown it to Gurriel, Correa, or because he's coming into that game. You know, it's not like Chad Green is taking you to the eighth inning.
Right.
So he's coming into that game, and he threw a bad pitch. Now, the other thing, this has little relevance. I just found it interesting. Back in April when the Yankees were at Minute Maid Park, it was a 3-3 ball game when George Springer ripped a two-run double off of Chad Green.
Different pitcher.
Astros, yes. Astros won the game 6-3. Also earlier in the year in different situations, Ottavino struck out George Springer.
Right. So I think that's part of the problem that we're running into here is that one of the reasons why I thought it was a mistake, and obviously it didn't work out, but even going in I thought it was a mistake, is that Chad Green right now is better than Adam Ottavino. He has been for a month. Over the course of a full season, of course Ottavino's been better. Their numbers aren't close, but Chad Green was in the minor leagues at one point.
Yeah, I wouldn't even say, you know, I would even tell you Green's been better all season because, you know, his numbers are skewed by that, you know, by his pre-minor league
right.
trip.
But he's a bet right now he's better than Adam Ottavino. You agree with that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And but they're also, you know, they're also looking at it from the hitter's perspective.
Sure.
And that the hitter has more success against fastballs versus sliders.
Sure.
And that is a big factor there. And you're going to these guys, and you've mapped out how many outs you need. Now, he didn't get the out. Okay, bad move. You want to just call it a bad move because he didn't get the out? Fine. It's still 2-2, and you've got lots of chances to push a run across and still have all of your guys. They had a role, no matter what happened, they had a role as Chapman pitching the ninth inning. All they had to do was push a run across somewhere, and they win that ball
game. No, they lost the game because they didn't score runs. It's the first thing we said at the start of the show. You could talk about a lot of other things, but they didn't score enough runs. Now, one thing a few callers have brought up was the idea of Britton coming out for a second inning. What I've said is, hey, look, Britton hasn't been asked at all this season to get six outs. Hasn't happened. He's gotten four outs once. Everything else has been an inning or less. Is that the reason why the Yankees, not just for yesterday, but maybe for the rest of the postseason, are not going to ask Zach Britton to get more than four outs potentially?
I think you can stretch him depending on what the, you know, where you are in the game and what the situation is. I mean, you know, I guess heading towards a possible extra innings is a spot where you could use Zach Britton. Now, I would have thought if you're using Zach Britton for two innings right there, then you are going, then you're hearkening back to the Jeff Weaver game, and you're thinking about, okay, are you not using your closer in a tie game on the road? Aaron Boone was committed, who, by the way, was the third baseman in that ballgame. He was committed to using Aroldis Chapman in a tie game on the road and take your chances and move forward from there. So I think if you are going to use Britton for two innings there, you know, now all of a sudden, now you're in a situation if you're in the 10th inning, so are you going to use Chapman or are you going to save him? I know you have fewer options because you went to your bullpen as early as the third, but I think if he's committed to using him there, then using him in the ninth is probably better than waiting for the 10th.
All right, how about, and I understand that they don't want to go around three times in the batting order, but Tanaka was dealing on Saturday. 67 pitches, he takes him out after six innings. They weren't touching him. And obviously, they won the game easily anyway, but well, what about that aspect, Sween?
Tanaka went to them and told him he was gassed.
Is that right?
Tanaka used a lot of energy to get through those six innings. There's a lot riding on these games. He told them that he was good and that they could go to the bullpen. So, and frankly, whether you're talking about 68 pitches or 88 pitches, he did what he needed to do in that ball game. And when you've had 4 days off and you have the relievers the Yankees have, third time through the order matters, and when you say that he's cruising, I can point to, you know, I went through his road starts, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, and because I wanted to see what was really accounting for some of the difference in the home road ERA. And you know that the Boston, the London, a couple of those games really skewed things. That adds about, what do we say, 18 or 20 runs to his road ERA. I found four other games where he gave up a total of 10 runs third time through the order, where those road starts look pretty good. Third time through the order against Tanaka, his every hitter turns into an MVP. That's what the OPS guess tells you, Sweeney. Even when he's cruising.
Sweeney, here's my problem. All those numbers are fair. Those numbers are calculated when? During the regular season?
Yeah.
Okay, who cares?
Tanaka postseason?
Yeah,
I get it.
A different guy. Because I'll give you something
that
matters.
I'm telling you. Third time through matters.
Okay.
Even in games when he is cruising,
okay.
He gives up runs.
Is that true in the playoffs?
He went to them and said, yeah, that's good.
Well, look, that's fine, and that does change things. I'll admit that. Obviously, if Tanaka says he's gassed, he's gassed. But in 2017, when there was a different manager and he was pitching seven innings, you know how many hits he gave up second time around the order to the Houston Astros and the Cleveland Indians? The answer is nothing. So postseason Tanaka and regular season Tanaka are different. Yeah. So what matters more to you, Tanaka third time around in the playoffs in 17 or what he did in August when, let's face it, Tanaka's an average pitcher during the regular season?
He's better than average pitcher, but
not the last couple of years.
I think two of the last three he's had bad regular seasons.
Yeah.
The year you're talking about, he had a bad regular season in 17 also.
Correct.
I think that when you had him pitching a game one with all your relievers rested, these are the guys you need to have in the ball game. Okay, I'm sorry, Masahiro Tanaka is not throwing a complete game for you in these situations. He's not throwing a Maddox out there. You're using your best relievers, and you know you can agree with or disagree with it. That's what's going to happen.
No, I know it's going to happen. I'm not surprised by it because we talked about this going in. This is the way they treat Tanaka, and I ask you this question. What if he hadn't issued the walk or given up a hit? If he had a perfect game, was he coming out of that game?
I don't know. I don't know. But now you're talking about trying to get a personal achievement versus trying to win a playoff game.
Is that a personal achievement? Do you think they were going to pull Tanaka with a – they probably were based on their strategy because he would have faced the same amount of hitters. Remember, he faced the minimum through six. Look, the one thing, Sweeney,
what is he telling you, too? What is he communicating to you?
Is he saying
that I'm great, let's go? Because that played a big factor.
I admit to you, okay? The game-changing thing is if Tanaka, despite the pitch count, is saying, oh, yeah, I'm gassed. Obviously, that's a huge deal. I mean, if a starting pitcher is saying they're done, that matters. So I'm not dismissing that at all. What I'm dismissing, and I think I'm right to dismiss it, is citing regular season stats when talking about Tanaka. I think it's a colossal waste of time because he's a different pitcher.
I think he is a different pitcher, but I don't think the Yankees treat him as a different pitcher. I think the Yankees treat him as a good pitcher, and they get to the point in the game where they say, okay, now let's go to our bullpen. This is where he has to come out of the game. Because I guarantee you there are games when he's looked great, and they took him out earlier than maybe you would have expected or wanted.
No doubt.
Even in the regular season.
Do you think there's a... So we were talking about this earlier in the show, and I was talking about this off-air with a few Yankee fans. So they don't want a starting pitcher facing guys third time around. Okay, numbers back it up, like you mentioned, in the regular season. Do you think it's a good idea to have the same reliever face the same pitcher, same batter, day after day after day because you like that lane and you like your matchup? Because that's what's ultimately, that may happen, Sweeney.
Yeah, well, this is where you're trying to get through, one doesn't match up with the other, where you're trying to keep the pitcher from hitting, starting pitcher from facing the same batter multiple times, but you're okay with the reliever facing the same batter multiple times. That's what you've chosen. That's the lane you've chosen to go in, as opposed to getting the starter through deeper and having the hitter get another look at him. That's probably the downside of where you are as far as who your relievers are and what you're asking them to do night after night. You're basically, when you've chosen the matchups, you're choosing the same spots for these guys almost every time. Could you mix it up a little bit? Could you have, say, now Paxton only going into the third probably changes that, but you could have had a spot where Green is the guy that faces him, faces Springer, let's say, and if maybe not Springer, because that's not what we wanted, but you're getting through a certain part of the order, and then Ottavino faces another part of the
right.
order. You know what I mean?
Because to your point, that's Adam Ottavino faced the exact same four guys in game one and game two.
That's going to be a huge factor because this isn't hard. They don't like him facing left-handed batters. So if he's going to get in the game, who are the guys – that he was a non-factor, really, in the Twins series. They had him figured in for one guy because the Twins had too many left-handers, too many switch hitters for him to get a full innings work in. So if you're looking at the Astros lineup, he's going to get Springer, Altuve, Bregman, and Gurriel, Correa, any of these
and
guys.
And I wonder...
And last night, it was last two times, it was Springer.
And I wonder if that's why Springer took him deep. Springer saw him the night before.
Springer took him deep because he threw a bad slider.
Oh, no, I understand that, but it probably, I get that, but it probably didn't help that 24 hours earlier, Springer saw the same guy, and he's going to see the same guy in Game 3, and the same guy, I mean, there's a chance he's going to see the same guy every game.
I can't discount that, but if he throws that pitch better, Springer isn't hitting the home run.
Look, I'm not going to disagree. It was a bad pitch. No doubt out of Vinos. It's so true. I'm just saying, I don't know how different things work out.
If you tell me that he took a slider 3 inches off the ground that was on the black and hit that out because he saw it the night before, then I'm giving it to you. This is not what happened.
Well, but seeing him the night before, in which he only saw two pitches against Adam Ottavino, maybe his game plan was, boy, I'm looking for a slider up first pitch. Who knows? It could have impacted.
Working on Ottavino is he's throwing you sliders.
Well,
if
obviously,
if he hangs one, you're gonna. That's he didn't need to face him the night before to know that Adam Ottavino was going to throw him a slider.
I understand. We don't know what would have happened if he didn't face him the night before, but this has to be a little bit of a worry. Zach Britton too. Zach Britton faced, I think, two of the hitters he saw in Game 1. He saw again in Game 2. Same thing.
Yeah, that and this is listen, it's fair to worry about that and to think about, okay, is that going to matter? Now, they had him in a situation where you did face him 2 games in a row because you're in a position to try to win 2 games in a row. That's not always going to happen either. It's not like these guys are all going out there for 7 appearances and you're going to get, you know, a season's worth of looks at a guy by the time the series is over. But I think that's legit when you're talking about getting over and over repeated looks to think about it. But I'm still going back to this. He didn't hit him because he saw him. He hit him because he saw a bad pitch.
Hmm. What's the story with Stanton, Sween? Is he going to play again or not?
They hope so. They're going to look to see. You know, he didn't play yesterday, obviously. He gets today. They're not making the roster move. And I don't know that. You know, they might come in tomorrow and say, yeah, we've got to do this. But at the point in time yesterday, they were not convinced it was something that they needed to move off of. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Carrying the extra outfielder on the roster certainly benefits them here because Hicks was ready to go. I'll tell you another thing. Another part of that game last night, that where Stanton hurt them, it didn't end up mattering because they didn't push the run across. But in the 11th inning, Encarnacion walks with 2 outs, right? I can't use Maben or Hicks because I've already used them, and it's because Stanton wasn't in the game.
Yeah, you would add one as a pinch runner.
Encarnacion is sitting on second base after Gardner's single.
Yep.
If I got Maben running for him, is he on third? And does that change anything? Even if he's just on second, Sanchez didn't get the hit, but I've got a better chance of scoring the run.
No question.
With somebody else running, that's where the trickle-down really hurt.
That is a very good point, and that's why I wonder how aggressive would they be in pulling him off this roster, because obviously if he comes off the roster, he's done. He's not in the World Series. He's
correct.
Off the roster for this series.
And that's why I think they're kind of playing with this. Listen, they have extra outfielders here.
Right.
They can weather this until they figure out whether... And he, you know, he played... He hurt... the quad in the first inning.
So he had a home run later. Yeah.
And played later, and it took really good at-bats, played a good game. He was in the outfield until the 8th inning. And you're right, he had a home run and battled back from down 0-2.
Is Maben going to be the guy, or can you see Aaron Hicks getting into the lineup for Game 3?
In Yankee Stadium, I could see possibly, you know, the thing that Boone said he didn't want to just throw Hicks in there yesterday was the idea of the outfield at Minute Maid Park with Gardner in center and Maben in left he liked, and facing Justin Verlander, hey, you know, I know you've been taking all these sim at-bats, but here's Justin Verlander for your first real game in 2 months. That was, and you know, I think he felt better about using him later in the game when he could use the matchup with the as a switch hitter and use that more to his advantage. Now, when you get to the games in Yankee Stadium and more ground to cover out there, I could see it possibly being Hicks in center and Gardner in left. But I don't think they're afraid of starting Maben here either. I think they like what he brings, and I think they still have a pretty good lineup with the rest of the guys in there.
Game 4, an opener in Game 4, or is there any shot Tanaka comes back on 3 days rest?
What's your latest weather forecast for tomorrow?
Well, okay, let's assume, I know, because it's supposed to be terrible. Let's assume that the weather...
He's not coming back on 3 days rest.
Okay.
There's no chance he's coming back on 3 days.
But let's assume Wednesday, now it's supposed to be 100% chance of rain on Wednesday. Tomorrow's supposed to be good, but Wednesday's the day.
Yeah.
So let's assume that there is no weather, and the weather doesn't factor in. What do they do?
Yeah, then you're looking at, you know, I don't know how far Severino's going to go and where tomorrow's game goes, but... You're probably looking at the some combination of Chad Green, Jay Happ to get you through the bulk of that game.
No shot for Tanaka, Paxton coming back on short rest, even though their pitch count was low. I know you say no shot, but I only ask again because does it change things at all because both guys did not throw a lot of pitches in their starts?
It is not for Tanaka. For Paxton, I wouldn't rule that out. Here's the thing about once you I know postseason is different than regular season, but you see it in the regular season too. A starter gets knocked out after the second inning. You know, he's not coming back early. He's still on 5 days. It's the routine of a starting pitcher, and short pitch count doesn't mean it wasn't a strong workload for him. And again, Tanaka had 68 pitches through 6 innings. That was a pretty strong workload for him. So here's a guy who they go to great lengths to get extra rest because it makes him more effective.
I can't believe that Tanaka's asking out of that game.
I don't think that they want to go short rest to make him less effective. Now let me about what you just said. I don't know that he said take me out of the game. He told them that he was pretty gassed. Okay, I don't think he said take me out of the game now. But he communicated to them that he had been through quite a bit already. That was not an easy
thing. There were two base runners against him.
Yeah,
I'm not trying.
Playoff intensity. He's making hard pitches.
Okay.
He's making tough pitches.
The guy's great.
Another thing that was about 2 hours worth. You know, a lot of times we think about where the complete games go, and I've run this by a couple of guys. You know, games last like three and a half hours now. You're talking about these pitchers trying to be at that level for a long period of time. And I think that matters because you're talking about an extra length of time where you have to physically be at your peak, an extra hour. Bob Gibson and these guys, we always like to romanticize, they threw complete games in 2 hours. You know, ask them to go out there and keep pitching that hard for another hour. I think it's just a little bit different. But to go back to where we started here, it doesn't, he pitched 6 innings. They're not bringing him back on short rest.
All right. Thank you, Sweeney.
All right, Sweeney.
All right, see you guys.
See you.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.